Welcome to A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk, with Reverend Jennifer Hadley, a beloved teacher of the Course, who has helped thousands learn how to express their beliefs from moment to moment in their everyday lives. Get ready to focus on your intent to be the love, be the peace, through practical application. Here is your host, Reverend Jennifer Hadley.
Here we are. I'm so happy to be with you, as you know I always am. And I want to apologize for my technical difficulties last week. You will be getting the Lorna Byrne episode that we recorded last week. This week, my guest is Ian Patrick. I'm going to introduce him in just a couple of minutes here. We're going to begin, as we always do, with a prayer. So just before I say that prayer, I'll let you know that I'm in Germany, and I'm kind of near Dusseldorf, and the sun is just setting here. It's just almost dark here, 5 p.m. in Germany, and 8 a.m. in Los Angeles. And Ian Patrick is in the U.K., so he's got 4 p.m. So it's wonderful. We're international today. I invite you to place your hand on your heart and take a deep breath with me. So we take this deep breath of love and gratitude, and we remember our true identity. So grateful and so thankful that love is all that there is, and love is all that we are. So in this moment, with love and gratitude, we dispel any sense of darkness, any sense of limitation, any sense of lack. We allow it to dissolve and resolve, and we remember that love is all that there is, and we are grateful for that. In grace and gratitude, we declare ourselves available and willing to know the truth, to live the truth, and to demonstrate the truth with our very life. In gratitude, we share the benefits with everyone. We let it be. And so it is. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So good. So good to be the two or more who are gathered together week after week by means of the radio show. I just love being able to use technology to transcend time and space. I think we live at such an amazing time, and I'm so grateful for it. It's just absolutely amazing to me. I've been looking forward to our show this week and our guest, Ian Patrick. Hey, Ian.
Hi there, Jennifer.
Ian is the director.
I hope everyone can hear me all right.
Yeah, I'm sure they can hear you fine if I can hear you. And Ian is the director of Miracle Network in the UK, and he's the publisher of Miracle Worker, which is Miracle Worker magazine. It's a wonderful magazine, and people all over Europe enjoy and appreciate it. That's what they tell me. And Ian, you came out with your first book this year, of course.
Yes, back in April. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and it's a collection of essays sharing your personal journey with A Course in Miracles. And to me, it's really, isn't the journey, Ian, really with our personal practice?
Sorry, is that a question?
Yeah, don't you think that the it seems like it might be a journey with A Course in Miracles, but it's really a journey with our personal practice?
Yes, well, it's applying the theoretical ideas that we read in the course to our lives on a you know, or even, well, initially on a day-to-day basis, but I think even on a moment-by-moment basis. That's what I try to do anyway. I don't often succeed in that, but that, at least that is my intention. And as I do that, the ideas become more and more integrated into my life and my experience. And I'm just beginning to just get the feeling that, if it's not, this is not too grandiose to say, that I seem to be embodying forgiveness more and more, even coming from a forgiveness place. So it's like I don't get I don't get triggered so much by things that happen to me. I seem to be like primed for forgiveness. I guess that's just what comes through that practice that you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm so glad you shared that. You know, Ian, I feel
I'm just waiting
that...
now for the heavens to open and something awful to happen. They'll just test how ready I really am.
Yeah, forgive this. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, what I've been teaching workshops in Ireland and in Germany the last couple weeks, and what I keep saying is that if we don't go into judgment in the first place, then there's nothing to forgive.
Mm.
And
that's
so,
right.
So what I hear is you're in that practice of non-judgment, so then there's nothing to forgive.
I guess that's it. That's a better way of putting it, I think. Yeah, I kind of, increasingly just seeing people's innocence. So I see love or a call for love. So when people are doing mm-hmm. something that before would have really, upset me or made me angry or whatever, I think I see that perception more and more. And sometimes some instances are more challenging than others. I seem to be getting some big lessons that are really going to the core, to the heart of my, my personal issues. But I think that's exactly what you're describing is what I'm finding more and more and more. That's actually a better way of putting it than the way I put it. Thank you for that.
Well, I you talk about issues going right to your core, and people who are in class with me know that I talk about going through a period. It's not that long ago. It's just really in the last decade, the middle of the last decade, I went through a period of about 3 years where it felt like a crucible. It just felt like it was literally one thing after another. And I would get totally knocked down by it and feel completely like I'd been hit by a tidal wave of negativity. And I would just be dusting myself off, just kind of getting back up to my knees even. And the next thing would come. And somehow in the midst of it, I knew that it was actually a clearing out for me. And I could either judge it and say, this shouldn't be happening. Instead, I just said, I wish it wasn't happening, but I'm going to claim it for my good. Mm. Yeah, and of course, I took a lot of drugs, too.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. Totally kidding. No. I'm totally kidding. I'm kidding, people. Being silly. It's 5 o'clock in Germany, so it's cocktail hour. But I'm not having a cocktail, but I can pretend like I am.
It's early for those kind of jokes in Los Angeles, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And always...
No, I was just... I had a very similar thought. We seem to be in parallel quite a lot. In synchronicity, perhaps. Something came up late last night, with some friends. One of my core issues is abandonment. It's not fitting in. It's feeling rejected, and that sort. And that came up big time last night. So I came back in that. I was in that frame of mind, thinking that. And then this morning, it just hit me. What a fantastic opportunity this is, and how grateful I felt for this opportunity to choose something different, to choose the perception of the truth, or to choose the truth, rather than to buy into that old stuff. So
that's it.
Hello?
What? That's it. And you can actually be grateful for the thing that triggers the upset, because it's in that upset moment that you can do the healing. You can call it forth. You can change your mind. You can have a new experience of it.
Yeah. Well,
then it doesn't have to keep happening.
You can do one of two things, I think. I could have either gone, oh, okay, there we go. You know, that just proves my beliefs about myself are true. You know, I'm not worthy. there's something wrong with me. Those sort of things. Those would be the old beliefs. Or I can go the other way and just choose to be grateful for this opportunity for healing, to remember that is not the truth. Remember the truth of who I am. And then it just seems, then I was just in a place of total gratitude for this not very nice experience that happened last night.
Well, you know, I love that you're being authentic and transparent and sharing that, because so many people will actually get triggered when they're triggered, let's say, into feeling upset, that then they think, if I were more masterful, I wouldn't feel upset, and so I must be not good enough, and then it takes them down the train of, I call it the pain train. They get on the pain train, and they just revisit their judgments and opinions about themselves. So for me, I learned to go into gratitude and say, I'll be grateful for what I know not even what it is. I just move into gratitude that somehow my good is in this trigger. It's up to be healed.
Yeah. Well, if something happens to in your experience that brings up that feeling of not being good enough, which was the case for me last night, if I then go, oh, I've got this feeling of not being good enough, oh, well, therefore I really am not good enough, that's just another turn of the screw, isn't it? It's a double bind. You're one step further removed from undoing it. But if you can rewind and just say, okay, I'm feeling not good enough in this moment, or feeling whatever it is that you're feeling, and then just recognize it as just, you know, the ego having, yet another go at you, and you can begin to laugh at it, recognize it's not the truth.
Absolutely.
And let
it
go, and you're released. But it can be, I think, a very, like a hair trigger between going one way or going the other. But I suppose it becomes easier with practice.
I think you're bringing up another good point. It does feel like it gets easier with practice. We begin to take the ego attacks less personally.
Yes. Yeah.
And it does require a commitment that when we get triggered, that we're not going to go that way. I had Ken Wapnick on the show a year ago, and I asked him. I said, "What do you say to yourself, Ken, when you find yourself faced with those ego thoughts that are very tempting?" He said, he quotes from Shakespeare to himself, and he quotes, "That way madness lies."
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
That way madness lies.
Yeah. Shakespeare being my fellow countryman, I think I should remember to say that to myself.
Yeah. I love Shakespeare.
I think what's required is that vigilance, really, is just watching the ego, because it gets easier with practice, but in the early stages, it's so easy to go the other way and beat yourself up, but just constantly be vigilant for the ego and all its lies and all its machinations.
Exactly.
It's awareness.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, cultivating.
Because some of these, all these ego paths are so habitual. You know, I've been doing them for years, since the year dot, you know, since we were born, since childhood. And So the natural inclination is to go down that road, I think. So we just have to draw ourselves back from that, going in the direction of madness. But that requires just constant vigilance of our thoughts.
Yeah.
Constant monitoring,
yeah.
Really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's making a deep commitment to yourself, you know, that you are worth it. You know, your life of love is worth it.
Yeah. What else is there to do?
You know, I say that all the time, Ian. I always say to people, besides, what else are you going to do?
Yeah. What else is my life about but healing and growth? I have no interest in anything else, really. This is it. Once you get on this path, I don't think there's any way of going back.
Well, yeah. And isn't that wonderful?
Mm.
It really is wonderful because many people think that their life is about something else, you know? In Los Angeles, I think a lot of people think their life is about having the perfect butt.
Yeah.
You know, they do. Sure. The perfect body.
Same,
the perfect...
same here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll find out because I fly to the UK, as you know, on Thursday, day after tomorrow, and I'm going to be doing two events with you there, Friday night and all day Saturday, and I'm sharing this because we've got listeners all over the world listening to us right now, and one of the things we do is we promote the show at Facebook when it's about to be on or when it's on. And we've got the workshop on Friday night, How to Be a Love Magnet, and then all day Saturday, How to Stop Playing Small. And it's my first time teaching in the UK, and I'm so excited to be with you, Ian.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it as well. Do we want to give out the details of where the workshop's going to be in case people want to come along?
Yeah, we can
do
that. Why don't we've got our break is coming up in just a little over a minute. So, we can also give them the website and they can go look at the website during the break. Go ahead.
That's a good idea. Okay, the website is www.miracles.org.uk. And well, of course, all the details are there. But it's at the Columbia Hotel, both the evening and the Saturday. We're going to be at the Columbia Hotel, which is in Bayswater, London W2. That's near Paddington Station in that area. People know that. But, yeah, all the details on the website, including the price and how to book and all that kind of thing.
Great, yes. I'm so excited to be there.
miracles.org.uk.
All right. So I'm inviting everyone to go to the website if you're in the UK and take a look, miracles.org.uk. We're going to take our break right now. We'll be back in just a short while. I'm Jennifer Hadley, and you're listening to A Course in Miracles on Unity Online Radio. We'll be right back.
Thank you for tuning in for A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk. Get ready to focus on your intent to be the love, be the peace, through practical application as we return to A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk.
So we're back with Ian Patrick from the Miracle Network in the UK. I'm in Germany, and I'm going to be doing workshops Friday night in London, Be a Love Magnet, How to Be a Love Magnet. That's this Friday night. And then all day Saturday, How to Stop Playing Small. And I love these two workshops, Ian, because... Well, first of all, they're always different every time I do them. And they are always tailor-made to the people who are in the room. And so I find that two of the things that many spiritual seekers find that they suffer from is they intend to be more loving, but they find it actually intensely challenging to be loving. For me, the hardest thing in my life has been to learn not to be judgmental and to actually be loving. That is the hardest thing I've ever learned to do. And I can still get caught by the judging mind. And so the workshop, Be a Love Magnet, is really to support people with clear, concrete tools that really work to transform our mind. And then how to stop playing small. Many people feel that they're living far below their potential. And it's not so much about just the material world or being successful in the material world, but just really living that flow of love, that life that is a flow of love and feeling truly masterful. And so, Ian, today on the show, as you know, our topic is really about having a commitment to love and how to develop a commitment to love. And as we were sharing earlier, you and I still get caught up every day. So even though you're an author and a leader and a teacher and me as well, we still have to practice and live in that commitment to love every day.
Yes. I mean, the course, I can't remember what the quote is from the course, but basically it's saying, you know, we're not expected to have no ego thoughts. We're not expected to have, you know, only loving thoughts. It's just we're supposed to have none that we will hold on to. Is that the quote? You may know it better than I do. But
I don't know that particular quote.
That's two of them.
So, yeah, so if anybody is judging us, they can have an opportunity to practice their commitment to love.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm really glad you brought that up, Ian, because so many course students can get caught up in thinking if they can't quote the course chapter and verse that somehow they aren't a good course student. But it's not about the book.
It's absolutely not. No, it's what I said before. It's like, you know, it's what you can get you know, involved in reading the book, in studying it, trying to understand it intellectually, or memorizing where various quotes are from. And it's really not about the book. You know, the course says, you know, forget this course. It doesn't mean forget the ideas in it. It means, you know, apply those ideas to your life and forget about the form of the book, which is just pages of, you know, paper and ink. It's about the application of those ideas.
Beautifully said.
And I think
it's
a trap. I know I've met people who can quote chapter and verse, but they don't seem to be living it. And
And they're
I'd rather be not be able to quote, and at least doing my best to live it. That would be my preference.
Yeah. Ian, I kind of spoke, I don't know if you heard me, I said those people are going to hell, but I just want to say once again, those people are not going to hell, there is no hell. I was just being a joker. Yeah, I can't help it.
I like your sense of humor.
Well, I'm glad you say that, Ian, because I think we can tell people you're kind enough to have me as a house guest for a week. So you, at the end of the week, you may have had your fill. But
is it a week?
Well, it's what?
Is it a week?
Didn't we agree on that?
Anyway,
yeah.
I'm not sure. Well, we'll have plenty of opportunities to practice forgiveness. I'm sure.
Oh boy.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. No, you know, it's actually been very interesting learning for me, Ian, because on this European tour trip, I had a little apprehension before I left that I was going to be spending so much time with people that I'd never been with before. Mm. And some people I'd never met and never spoken to on the phone, had no experience of at all. And I was a little concerned that it might be challenging because you know what they say about house guests and fish?
House guests and fish? Both... No.
Yeah. Do you know that expression?
No.
Yeah, after 3 days, they both begin to smell bad. Yeah. And yeah. But you know what I notice, Ian, and I'm quite amazed by it, that because of the commitment to practicing love, you know, to really being spiritually masterful, I have not been irritated or annoyed by anyone, and I have not felt that they were irritated or annoyed by me, even though we've been spending tremendous amounts of time together. Like we've been, you know, all day in the car driving places, and I mean all day, 12 hours, and you know, with stops along the way and things, and no challenges whatsoever, no personality challenges. And I think it is a testimony to how incredibly powerful the practice is because, you know, a handful of years ago, that would not have been the case for me.
Yes. Well, I've had similar experiences. I've stayed with and traveled with course students all in Australia and US and here in the UK and Ireland as well and in Greece and Spain and all over the place, and without exception, they're all, you know, wonderfully easygoing, wonderfully hospitable, just loving and easy to be with. It's a real blessing.
It is.
And you know, there's a I don't know if it's still going. There was like a Course in Miracles bed and breakfast host network, and you could just sign up to this, and if you were traveling, you could elect either to be a host to have people who were traveling to come and stay with you, or if you were traveling, you could see where people were based and go and stay with them. I think there were certain guidelines, up to 3 nights or something. That's a wonderful thing that.
I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't exist anymore. Talking nearly 20 years ago, 18 years ago, I first came across that.
Wow, that's fantastic. Wow, that's great. You know, it's what I notice about many Course in Miracles students is they are so happy to have a commitment to a loving practice and to be in the company of other people who are practicing as well.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any
particular?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, although you know, as we practice the ideas in the Course in Miracles, I think there is another aspect to this that something else can happen. It can be, you know, it could be a wonderful experience and change our lives in really wonderful ways. So we can be really happy to be on this path, but it can get tough. I think as we begin to remove some of the layers of, you know, denial, perhaps, and get to see some of the workings of our own egos, it can get, you know, the going can get uncomfortable, and you know, I think that can be those that are and perhaps new to the path. In fact, I've written about this in my book. Those that are new on the path and have that sort of moment of bliss very early on, then can get disenchanted when they hit the next, you know, maybe what is the next phase when the going gets tough, and can think then be begin to think, oh, this is not working. What's happening? This course doesn't work after all. I thought it was so wonderful, but look at, you know, look what's happening. This is, I don't like this, you know, and then start to beat themselves up. And I think it's healthy to be, you know, forewarned is forearmed, that, you know, the ego can raise its ugly head again.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to be vigilant, as you were saying before, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any particular tools or tricks, ways of thinking about it, the way Ken Wapnick told me, his quoting Shakespeare? Do you have anything like that you have found helpful, Ian?
I don't have any nice little sayings like that. I wish I did. I guess, as soon as I notice that something's going on, I just pray, or I sit and meditate. You know, I've got some lovely little, just simple little prayers, you know, just something like, you know, show me the truth, show me this is not so, show me this belief I have about myself is not the truth of who I am. Show me another way of looking at this. You know, just those simple little things, and just, sometimes just that is enough to shift it. Just recognizing, hang on a minute, there is another way, and there is help available. That is that shift out of the, you know, my wrong mind into my right mind, I think.
Yeah.
So that can happen in seconds.
Yeah, it does happen in seconds, and it is our little willingness that opens up our mind to just see that.
That's what Ken's little saying, that, you know, that way, that way lies madness. Is that the one? You know, that will just be enough to switch, I think, from your wrong mind to your right mind. Doesn't take much.
Yeah. No,
it's the willingness, really.
Exactly.
And saying a little reminder like that, or one of my little prayers, is perhaps the little will, the all. The only amount of that little willingness that's actually necessary.
It is.
With the vigilance. That and the vigilance.
Yes.
Getting in there quick enough before the ego can take hold. Because once it's got its grip on you, you know, it can be a long haul out of that pit, I think.
Exactly. I talk about getting on the pain train. And,
right. Yeah.
You think the thought
so if you're
that
teetering on the edge of that pit, you know, that's the time to realize that it's there and you're about to fall in, and that you do have a choice. Once you've fallen in a pit, it's a lot harder to get out.
Right, and even so, it's you know, people really do hold in their mind that they're the victim of the negativity. And that it is really hard to overcome it. It does take practice to really get that if you are determined, it's not hard. You just have to get in that, I call it get in the gap. Mm-hmm. So I use, you know, how you're in the UK right now. I happen to be in Germany, but I say get in the gap, mind the gap, that the train pulls in the station. It's like an idea, a thought in our mind. It pulls into the station of our mind, and then we have a choice. Do we want to get on that train and go where it's going, or do we want to mind the gap? You know, and
yes.
Say, oh, I don't need to get on that pain train. I've been on that train. I know where it goes. I'm going to stay right here where I am, and I'm going to partner up with the Holy Spirit and say a prayer.
Right. Well, you'll enjoy it when you get to London, because they have that announcement on some of the stations, mind the gap.
Yeah.
So it'll be a constant reminder for you.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I've just had a little message pop up on my phone from my friend Rad, who says he's listening to this on He's in London. He's my yoga teacher. So I can say hi to Rad.
Oh, great. Excellent.
That's my Polish yoga teacher.
Oh, great. Well, maybe you'll take me for a yoga class when I'm there.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, you know, that's the wonderful thing about Facebook, too, is you put it out and then people start tuning in. I was going to share something about the... we're going to go to break here in just a minute, but when I was landed in Heathrow last week on the way to Dublin, I took a picture of, there was a sign, you know how they have the moving walkways in the airport?
Yeah.
They had a sign above it that said, look in the direction you're going.
Right.
And I just thought that was hilarious. It's like a message from spirit. Look in the direction that you're going. Don't look at the past.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at the direction that you're going.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I
particularly when you're on one of those traveling walkways.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like messages and signs are everywhere if you're willing to see them. I had to stop and take a picture of it. It made me laugh.
Yeah. I remember a friend of mine talking. Oh, we got to go to a break.
Yep, we're going to our break right now. I'm Jennifer Hadley. My guest is Ian Patrick. You're listening to A Course in Miracles on Unity Online Radio. We'll be right back. And in the meantime, go to miracles.org.uk. See what we're doing this weekend.
Affirm the good that flows within you and stretch to reach your divine potential with daily inspirational messages from Daily Word.
My affirmation of faith is, I release and I let go. I release my desire to control people or situations. I let go of fear, worry, and doubt. I trust in divine power, which is infinitely capable of establishing right outcomes. I align myself with this power through prayer and meditation. Opening my mind and heart to the wisdom of the universe, I recall the promise, I am with you always to the end of the age. With this assurance, I find the strength to let go of anything holding me back. Letting go and letting God is a choice. It empowers me to move forward with ease and confidence. It provides me peace of mind and the assurance of divine order. As I let go and let God, I open the door to infinite possibilities.
Daily Word magazine is now available in a digital format. A one-year subscription to Daily Word Digital Magazine with audio is only $9.95. That's less than 3 cents a day to start your day right, centered and connected to the truth within you. To learn how you can subscribe to this online interactive magazine, go to www.dailyword.com.
Whether you love the Bible or hate it, turn to it daily or refuse to have it in your house, The Bible Alive, Exploring Your Spiritual Roadmap is a program designed just for you here on Unity FM. Unity Minister Rev. Ed Townley presents the Bible as a practical, powerful spiritual roadmap full of wisdom and guidance for the challenges of life today. A roadmap for your spiritual journey. Isn't that just what you are seeking? Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Central Time, 4 p.m. Eastern, for The Bible Alive, Exploring Your Spiritual Roadmap with Rev. Ed Townley, only on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world.
You've been listening to A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk with Reverend Jennifer Hadley. If you have a question or comment about today's program, or if you'd like to join in the discussion, visit us on Facebook at A Course in Miracles Pledge, where you can join with the community of like-minded people who have pledged to live A Course in Miracles every day in every way. Now, back to A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk.
So I'm Jennifer Hadley, and my guest this week is Miracle Network's Ian Patrick. And Miracle Network is the main organization in the UK for Course in Miracles students. Ian, will you just say a little bit about Miracle Network, because we have folks all over the world listening?
Yeah. Well, really, we are actually the only organization in the UK, and arguably the only organization in Europe that does what we do. We're very much like, if people in the US know the Miracle Distribution Center, Beverly Hutchinson's organization, we do kind of very similar services to them. We have a magazine newsletter that comes out every 2 months. We hold conferences and workshops like yours, and monthly meetings, and we have a mail order service for books and CDs and etc., and all kinds of services on our website. So very similar to the MDC in many ways, and there's nobody else in Europe that does that. We've just started to have our conference every year, so we've got but the next one is in May in the English Midlands near Birmingham, and we've got Gary Renard coming over, and Earl Purdy, who I know you know, and half a dozen other Course in Miracles teachers. So that's the highlight of the year, really, is our conference. But it's been going for 18 years. I've been full-time at it for about 14 years, I think, losing track. But it's been a wonderful experience. And I think it's really wonderful to think of the contribution that we've made to Course in Miracles students in the UK and overseas too.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. It's such a huge benefit to students all over, and I hope that people in the United States and elsewhere will be inspired to come to your conference this year. It's been such a wonderful time to come to the UK.
You're very welcome. Yeah, we have had people come over from Canada and Germany and Spain and Finland and Denmark and all over. So we definitely welcome international participants. That'd be fantastic. So again, all that information is on our website. That was the link that we gave out earlier.
Yeah, just tell them one more time.
Okay, it's miracles.org.uk.
Yep, and if you are in the UK or are going to be there this weekend, you can join me and Ian. I've got the Friday night workshop, How to Be a Love Magnet, and all day Saturday, How to Stop Playing Small, which I'm so looking forward to. It's just going to be lovely. And today we're talking about the commitment to love. So, and I was asking you, Ian, if you had any particular practices or ways that really helped you to stay in your loving mind.
Well, there was another one other than the ones I mentioned that we mentioned, and it's a lovely little trick of gratitude. I think even in the midst of difficulties, of times of trial and strife, there's always something to be grateful for. Even if it's grateful for the view from your window or the sunshine or the food on your plate or whatever it is, the more you practice being grateful, the more, in my experience, is the more I practice, the more I find to be grateful for. And that very soon reconnects me with that experience of love, of who I am. It's a lovely little practice. I think really, actually, it was beginning that, as a result of something that somebody just casually said to me about listing the things I was grateful for, that really moved me on leaps and bounds on my spiritual path. I think it began my spiritual path, actually, because I just reconnected with a whole different experience about myself, my whole different experience about life and the world around me, and it was fantastic. And to some extent, I've let that go. I've dropped that, but I've just reconnected with the whole idea again. And you can just begin by making, say, every morning, making a list of 10 things that you're grateful for. And then
yeah.
You can begin to walk around making little lists in your head of these. You don't even have to write them down. When you're sitting on the bus or the train going to work or in the car, make little lists in your mind of things you're grateful for. And I promise you, it might be hard at first, and it might bring up a lot of resistance. But the more you do it, the easier it'll get.
I'm so glad you shared that, Ian. Mm-hmm. I remember, Ian, back in the 90s, driving around Los Angeles with tears running down my face because I was simply practicing gratitude. I was literally counting my blessings and just giving thanks for the beautiful day, giving thanks for that I had a car that worked, giving thanks for anything I could think of. And you're right, it is a deeply and profoundly healing practice.
Well, it's that lesson in The Course in Miracles, love is the way I walk in gratitude. So it really is. And what comes about is an experience of love. It's love in action, I was going to say. That's not quite right, but it's an experience of love anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Just love it.
Well, yeah, it's the practice of gratitude brings us into that space of all things work together for good.
Mm.
And it's really challenging to believe that all things work together for good, because from our human perspective, we can't see through all directions of time and space, so we don't know how some things could possibly be working together for our good. So we have to take it on faith and simply rest in gratitude.
Well, yeah, even my experience last night that I mentioned a while ago about feeling, you know, less than, feeling like being rejected, feeling I didn't fit, feeling not good enough, etc., etc. You could say, well, my ego would have been tempted to say at that point, you know, how can this be working, you know, for my good? But as I came through it and realized that it was an opportunity for which I could be grateful for, then I can see that it was working for my good. So there's absolutely nothing, how horrible, how terrible, how challenging that cannot be used for good. So therefore, everything does work together for your good. My good.
You know, it is about trust and faith. Trust and faith. And I encourage people to read the trust section in the teacher's manual, chapter 4, What Are the Characteristics of God's Teachers? And to me, that trust section really helps me to strengthen my faith and to recognize that very often, if I have an attachment, that I don't know what anything is for. And so being willing to release the attachment and to be guided, and you have to be willing to walk in faith, walk in trust.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, my God, you've done that, haven't you, with the Miracle Network?
Well, yes, I had no idea what was going to happen with it when I started. It was suggested that I did it. Other people suggested it, and I just said yes, not knowing how it was going to go. And I gave up my work just because it seemed like the next thing to do. And I've done that all along. It's just take the next step, and in trust. really. And it's felt guided each step of the way.
And it's following the bliss.
Yeah.
It is.
Oh, I don't think of it like that. I just think of it, an opportunity opens up in front of me and it feels good, so I take it. That's what happened with my book. Getting my book published was an amazing experience where I just offered it out there. Oh, the value of Facebook again. I just put it on Facebook that I'd compiled all my articles over 17 years into a manuscript. And Patrick Miller, who was the first publisher of Disappearance of the Universe, Gary Renard's book, he saw my Facebook post. He said, send me the manuscript. I did. He made me an offer. It was so easy. But if someone said to me, like, I think you should sit down and write a book, I never would have done that. The resistance would have been too great. I just know I never would have done. But it just seemed
and
like,
Ian's
okay, here's
the book is called
step,
Of Course. And it is a wonderful collection of essays from Ian's life. We are at time, Ian, and I need to say our prayer here. And I just want to tell people again that the website is www.miracles.org.uk. And if you are in the UK this weekend, I will be there. Two workshops Friday night, all day Saturday. You can join Ian and myself there. I'm going to invite everyone to place their hand on their heart again and take a breath of love and gratitude with me. We are grateful and we are thankful right now to walk this path of love, knowing that right where we are, the love of God is revealing itself as our life, as every activity in our life, as every brother and sister that we meet on the path. We're receiving our blessings. We're giving thanks for them. We're sharing the benefits with everyone, walking and talking in love and gratitude. In joy, we let it be, and so it is. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ian. It goes by so fast.
It does. Jennifer, thank you so much. I really enjoyed it. It's been wonderful joining with you and joining with the listeners and... Fabulous. Thank you.
Yes, and the recording will be available later today, and I'll see you this weekend, Ian. God bless.
Yes, looking forward to it. Okay.
Thank you for tuning in to A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk, with Reverend Jennifer Hadley. Join us every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Central for more tools and insights into how to express your beliefs from moment to moment, every day, in every way. A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world. This program is brought to you in part by JenniferHadley.com, a global resource providing tools, insight, and support for those seeking to live A Course in Miracles every day in every way. Online at www.JenniferHadley.com. While there, we invite you to visit Jennifer's blog, where you can join with the community of like-minded people who have become Jennifer's prayer partners through her daily power prayer. Like them, you can enjoy this extra support as you come to walk your talk and live A Course in Miracles every day in every way.
Celebrated Unity minister and author Eric Butterworth tells us, the exciting thing is that wherever you may be along the way of unfoldment and self-realization, no matter what the problems or challenges you may face, there is always more in you, the mystery of God in you, the Christ in you, which means your potential for healing, for overcoming, for prosperity. There is no limit. Join us each week for Discovering Eric Butterworth, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Central Time with host Reverend Tom Thorpe. Right here on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world.
Inspiration only takes a moment. As Reverend Felicia Blanco Searcy points out in her book, Do Greater Things, there is the potential for joy, wholeness, and expansiveness designed into every moment. And the miracle is when we recognize the constant presence of these qualities all around us. Once we see what is possible, our lives then begin to change.
This meditative moment is brought to you by Unity.
Is there a difference between the spiritual teachings you know and how you live your life? Does your day-to-day experience reflect what you truly value? Are you ready to receive your life and live the gift that you are? Join Janice Campbell, licensed Unity teacher, author, and coach, each week as she shares inspiration and tools to help you identify and dissolve the limiting beliefs that prevent you from living the fullest expression of what you are. Talk with Janice live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Central on Receive Your Life, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.